Did anybody not get one of the Beams brochures this morning? If you didn't get one, raise your hand, we'll get one. Okay. Did you see that he gets that?
Okay.
Okay.
I think I left one in Nancy's seat.
Oh, okay.
I got one, but.
Yeah, they were in the back.
All right. Okay, turn in your Bible this morning to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 17. And let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 17. Okay, beginning with verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, put on the whole armor of... Let me get turned on here first. I think you can probably hear me without that, but... Okay, am I on?
Yeah.
Okay. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. I want you to take a note to that word, stand, against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able, note, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to, notice again, stand. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now I want you to say this together with me this morning. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for the word this morning. We thank you for this church. Father, we pray you'd bless these folk in a special way today. I pray your Holy Spirit might direct, and everything I say might lift up the name of Jesus. God, help me to say what needs to be said, nothing more. God, we'll praise you for what you do. I pray you'd bless the pastor. Help him with his health, Lord. I pray you'd reach down and touch him. Lord, you might lift him up. We know we serve a God that's able to do over and above anything we ask. God, you bless and have your way now. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and for his sake, amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Our text verse this morning is verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In Sunday school, we talked about how important the Word of God is. Where would we be without a copy of the Word of God? The Word of God is how we get victory. We get faith, and we're able to overcome the devil. I'm no match for the devil this morning, neither are you. But through the Word of God, we can have victory over the devil. Now, the sword of the Spirit is the offensive weapon that God provides to every one of us. His Word will keep us from the devil. His word will bring faith, as we mentioned during the Sunday school hour. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. His word will give us assurance, as we also mentioned during Sunday school. These things have I written unto you that believe that you might know you have eternal life. His word will cheer us on and keep us going when all the world is about to quit. His word will cause us to get along with other people. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. His word will bring satisfaction. His word will keep us from complaining. Do you ever hear about the certain monastery that enforced a vow of silence among the priests and among the monks? And a monk can only utter two words every 5 years. And that had to be spoken in the presence of the high priest. And so 5 years went by, and one of the monks was brought in to the high priest, and he was given his opportunity to speak, and he said, bad food. Well, another 5 years went on, and a monk was brought in to the high priest, and again was allowed to speak two words. He said, bed hard. Well, another 5 years went by. That's 15 years he'd been in that monastery, and he was given an opportunity to speak again. He said, I quit. And the high priest said, well, I don't blame you. He said, all you've done since you got here is complain. And so if he'd been in the word of God, he wouldn't have been a complainer the word of God. Now, notice again the word stand in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 13, it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all to stand, that you might be able to withstand," he said. And verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Now, stand is an important word in the Bible. We know that we do that old song, "Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail." Standing on the promises of the word of God. It's through standing on the word of God that we prevail. I heard a song on the radio one day. I was going down through North Carolina, and I could only write, and I was talking to the preacher. He was talking about getting a message together on the stamps that we put on an envelope, and it's sent to a certain designated place. And so, and I told him I'd take a message anywhere I can get it, as much as I preach. And so I was driving down the road, and I was doing about 65 miles an hour, I guess, I mentioned that in a church I was in the other day, and I was doing a little bit over the speed limit, and they had five police officers in the church. I saw everybody laughing when I said that. But anyhow, I heard a song on the radio. It said, "I'm taking my stand for this book in my hand." And I said, well, that would make a good message. And so I got my pen out, and I got a little piece of scrap of paper, and I jotted that down while I'm driving down the road. I'm taking my stand for this book in my hand. And what a wonderful thought as we think about the Word of God. So I wrote those words, and I put them in my March prayer letter, and I'll start sending you my prayer letter too. I also wrote a little poem to go along with it, "Standing on the Book." Are you standing on the inspiration of His Word? The importance is reflected on what we've heard. Have you taken a stand on the book of books, while many are neglecting and multitudes forsook? Are you daily hiding it deep in your hearts, so from your stand you'll never depart? God's word is the child of God's foundation. It causes Christians to worship with adoration. It brings joy and peace to the troubled mind. Satisfaction and assurance is what you find. From Genesis to Revelation and all books between, God spoke and said exactly what He means. I'm taking a stand for this book in my hand as I attempt to send it throughout the land. Let's take a stand for that book in our hand this morning. John 7:38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Ephesians 6:10, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And then he tells us how in verse 11, "By putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, what does it mean to take a stand for this book? Dictionary says, for the word stand in Webster's dictionary, it says to be erect, supported by the roots as a tree or some other plant. Take a stand for the book, be supported. The mighty oak can stand the winds and storms because it is rooted deep. We need to be rooted deep in the Word of God if we're going to stand in this evil day that we live in. Another meaning is to remain upright in a moral sense, not to fail, to be in a state of fixedness, to continue, to be or maintain a posture of defense, to continue unchanged and valid, not to fail or become void. And I like this one best, to stand one's ground, to keep the ground or station one has taken, to maintain one's position. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you still standing where you stood when you started your Christian journey? Are you still standing where you stood when you started your Christian journey? I've been in about 40 or 50 churches last year, and just about every week I'm in a different church. And I'm telling you, I'm here to say this morning that many are not standing where they started out many years ago. What a shame, what a disgrace. And so verse 14, it says again, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Let me give you a few things this morning about standing. First of all, we should never forget, as we study, as we preach, as we teach from this book, we're standing on holy ground. It's holy ground because it's God speaking to us. This is God speaking to us. His word, as we mentioned during the Sunday school hour. In fact, this book is the law of the Lord. The Bible says, but in his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is the word of God. We're to take a stand on that. I shall delight in the law of God, knowing that this book is the word of God. As sure as when God spoke to Moses on the mountain of God out of the burning bush and said, Moses, Moses. And the Bible says in Exodus 3 verse 4 through 5, and when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. God spoke to Moses and he said, told Moses, he said, take your shoes off. Where you're standing right now is holy ground, because God spoke out of the midst of that fiery burning bush. It's holy ground every time we preach from God. This is holy ground that I'm standing on this morning as I preach from the word of God. It's holy ground every time that we try to teach boys and girls the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's holy ground every time you open the word of God to lead some lost soul into a knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're standing on holy ground. It's holy ground, and we ought to be careful. It's holy ground when you have your private devotions. When you get in the word of God and begin to read and study, it's God speaking to you. After all, this is God's word. Moses was told, said, take your shoes off, Moses. You're standing on holy ground because God is speaking. God said, Moses, Moses. And every time we open the word of God, God says, Dave, Dave, this is my book. This is my word. And you need to listen and respond to the word of God. And you can put your name in that also. As we walk in the mire of this world, we get corrupted. We pick up the grime and dirt and corruption and wickedness. And Moses was instructed to pull his shoes off because he was standing on holy ground, and nothing could alter or change that. I remember one morning years ago, we had a revival meeting going on at Bethel. And we had Brother Albert Yates. I don't know if you ever knew him. He's been in heaven for many years. But he was from up in Blue Ridge, Virginia. And he was a big, tall fellow. He was probably about 6'6" or something like that. Real lanky. And he'd come to my house and he'd stretch out on my couch. He'd made himself right at home wherever he was at. And I can still see him. His feet would be hanging over the end of the couch. But he loved the Lord. He was a good pastor. I remember one morning I went to the motel. I put him in a motel room there in Amherst. And I went over and I knocked on the door to pick up Brother Albert. And I heard him talking in the room. And I thought, well, there wasn't any, I didn't think anybody was with him. And so I knocked on the door again. And Brother Albert come to the door. He had on his bathrobe. Tears were streaming down his face. And he said, Pastor, I was praying for you. And I felt like I was standing on holy ground. That man of God there was lifting my name up to the throne of grace. And that did something for me. Oh, holy ground. We're told in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. As we pray, we're on holy ground. As we preach, we're on holy ground. This is why that I try to be particular as I preach the word of God. And I want to be my best in every service, and every time I stand before a group of people and preach the word of God, I want to give it all that I've got, because it's holy ground. I need to be studied and filled up with the word of God. Sometimes I feel like I fail greatly as I preach, and I ask God to forgive me and to show me how that I could have done better. Did you hear about the preacher that was in a revival service and in a town located close to a mental institution? One of the deacons asked him if he would come he worked there at the mental institution, was one of the aides, and he asked if he would come to the chapel service and preach one morning. And the evangelist said, I sure will be glad to. And so they went in, and after the man of God stood there and preached for a few minutes, some man stood up and said, that's the worst preaching I ever heard. And it kind of shocked the preacher for a minute, but the deacon was standing here beside of him. And so he went on preaching. And a few minutes later, the guy stood up again. He said, "I said that's the worst preaching I have ever heard." And he looked over at the deacon. He said, "Well, should I quit or what should I do? I don't want him to get violent. He may hurt somebody." He said, "No, don't quit." He said, "That's the first sensible thing the man's ever said." We need to be prayed up as we preach, as we teach the word of God. We're on holy ground. We ought to stand in awe as we think about this precious word of God this morning. Psalm 119 said, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." He said, I'm just shocked when I think of this being the word of a holy God. I stand in awe. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Down through the years, I found some great spoil in the word of God. "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment." I'm here to say this morning that everything God does is right. What God does is right. We may not understand it, but what he's doing is right. How can we not praise him as we think of his holy word this morning? This word that changed our lives and changed our hearts. This word that has directed and led us. This word that causes us to rejoice as we get into the word of God. The preaching of the word of God has given me convictions and increased my faith down through the years. The preaching of the word of God has burdened my heart and caused me to see the need of a world that's lost and dying and going to hell. The preaching of the word of God has gotten a hold of me. And even when I was thinking about resigning the church, was opening other doors that I might continue to preach the word of God. This word is always right. There's never a time when this word is wrong. The modernists, they may try to explain it away, but this is God's word forever settled in heaven, and it's holy ground as we proclaim the word of God. The Bible says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." We have nothing else to stand on this morning. The word is pure truth, so it's a holy truth from the mouth of Almighty God himself, as same as when Moses heard, "Moses, Moses," as we open the word of God and we see the scriptures and God takes the Holy Spirit of God and speaks to our hearts through the word. So I'm taking my stand for this book in my hand. Oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all the day long. So first of all, this morning we need to realize we're on holy ground as we minister the word of God. Romans 1:2, "Which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures." It's holy. It's the holy word of God. Secondly, we must stand fast in the fact that Christ is the person of this book. Look, turn back in your Bible. Your Bible may not have it, but most do. It says the New Testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Authorized King James Version. This book is about this person, Jesus Christ. He's the person of this book. We should never forget that he is the person of the book. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, I preached a message. I've got a message that I preach sometimes about the person of this book. And it's a powerful book. The reason it's a powerful book is because it comes from the person of this book. It's powerful. This is his life-changing book this morning. It gives hope and gives peace. And this is what makes this book living water. The Bible says in John 7:38, "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." As we take on this living water from this holy book, we must dispel it. If we don't, we become like the Dead Sea. It takes in but doesn't give out. We know that we ought to be like the Amazon River. It's the largest river in the world, I guess. There's some dispute about the Nile being larger, but it's the largest river in the dispersing or discharge of fresh water into the Atlantic Ocean. It has more volume coming out of that river than any other river in the world. It flows out into the Atlantic Ocean for about 125 miles before mixing with salt water. It is said that the early sailors could be 125 miles off the coast of Africa, and when the Amazon River flowed in, that they could drink fresh water out of it coming from the ocean, because there was such a volume coming into the ocean. There's enough fresh water from the Amazon River flowing into the Atlantic every day to supply New York City fresh water needs for 9 years. Now, there's over 110 tributaries flowing into the Amazon. The child of God has 66 tributaries flowing into him from the Word of God. We need to dispel what we take in from the Word of God. We have the pure, restraining, and perfect Word of God flowing in into us from Genesis and through Revelation. It's our guide and it's our standard of conduct this morning. Just as the Amazon River is a source of new life, so is God's Word. Or don't you love the Word of God this morning? What a blessed thing it is that I can hold a copy of God's Word in my hand this morning. That I can get up, I woke up this morning, and the first thing I do when I get up is I get in the Word of God and read and study the Word of God. I have this book that I can depend upon. Man will let us down, but God's Word will never fail us, nor let us down. So we have to stand fast on the fact that Christ is a person of this book. Thirdly, we need to stand fast in the freedom that Christ has given us. We don't have to go through life defeated and down and discouraged. Look at verse 11 again. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He made me free. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ this morning. I'm a child of the King this morning because of what I found in the Word of God. Because of that day in 1968 when I got born again in the family of God. Thank God I don't have to go through life defeated and miserable, worrying about the devil trying to defeat me with past sins. And the old devil will. He'll bring up our past sins many times. And he'll say, I remember when you did this. I remember when you did that. I said, that's true. That's true. This morning, if somebody was to walk in that door back there and say, I know Dave Peters. He's got no business standing behind that pulpit this morning preaching. I know his life before he got born again. I'd have to bow my head and say, that's exactly right. But one day, the Lord Jesus Christ said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And he wiped the slate clean, as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Aren't you glad to be a child of God today?
Amen.
I need to stand fast in that freedom. We can rejoice that our names are written down in glory. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Jesus told the returning 70 when they were rejoicing because devils had been cast out in his name. But he said in Luke 19 or 10:20, rather rejoice that because your names are written in heaven. He said, you don't rejoice because of that miracle. Rejoice that your name is written down up in glory. He's freed us from sin. He's wiped my slate clean this morning. I have his word as his last will and testament. It's been notarized by his blood. It's been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm taking my stand for this book I hold in my hand today. I hope you are. Number four, we can stand fast on the traditions. Traditions are precepts passed down from past generations. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold your traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, I was taught the tradition of soul winning many, many, many years ago, and it still works. There are still precious souls dying and going to hell that we need to be a witness and testimony to. It was no more than carrying a gospel tract and giving out a tract. We're to do all we can to, when you go to the grocery store, give them a tract. I remember years ago, I picked up a black man who was hitchhiking, and I took him to Lynchburg, and I gave him an Oliver Green gospel tract. I witnessed to him, and I gave him that tract. Well, about 6 or 8 months later, my dad, he was living then, and it's been back many years ago. My dad, I was talking to him, and he said, did you give a black man a gospel tract back a few months ago? And I had to think back, and I remembered. He said, well, I picked him up today and said he was preaching to me. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, isn't it wonderful that we simply give out a little gospel tract, somebody gets saved, and they begin to preach to other people. That's what we're all to be. We're lost sinners, saved by the grace of God, sharing with other people what we've got. We, for many years, while I was pastor, I promoted giving out gospel tracts. And I'd take a count on Sunday mornings and find out how many tracts was passed out. And you'd be surprised the people that came visit our church because as a result of somebody handing them a gospel tract and inviting them to the house of God. And only eternity will reveal the number that was saved as a result of that. What a blessing it is. And so I was taught the tradition of soul winning. I was taught the traditions of the old songs of the faith. Thank God you still sing them here. I go into churches where they don't sing them anymore. And how it breaks my heart. Thank God you still sing them. I was taught the tradition of separation and dedication, that God's children ought to be separated from the world, that God's children ought to be dedicated to the Lord, that God's children ought to be faithful to the house of God. That was some of the traditions that I was taught. I was taught the traditions of faithfulness to the house of God. Look what he said later on in 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which he received of us. This is a military order handed down by a superior officer. Pretty harsh words, but nevertheless it's the truth because it comes from God's word. Each of these were taught by the tradition of God's word. We have a command to stand fast. We must stand fast on these traditions that we've been taught down through the years. We're warned to shy away from the traditions of man. That's the trouble with a lot of churches. The traditions of man have entered into the house of God. And that's what the devil wants. If the devil can't condemn those that have been saved to hell, he'll do everything he can to destroy their testimony. The Bible says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. A lot of the traditions of men have worked their ways into the church of the living God. These are not God-honoring, and many are pure deceit. Standing on the word of God will cause us to realize that. Someone said they may be old-fashioned doctrines that we stand on, but they created missionary societies. They created churches, and they created Sunday schools. Our church is what it is today because of the traditions of the past. Since God never changes, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His traditions never change. We're to stand firm on the traditions of the Word of God. God's love never changes. He is from everlasting to everlasting. God's truth doesn't change. It's forever settled in heaven. God's ways do not change. He still deals with people today as he did back in the scriptures many years ago. In verse 14, again, the Bible says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. God, help me to stand for whatever time I've got left to be able to preach and teach the word of God and live on this earth. I pray that God will help me to keep, to take a firm stand and remain standing until the day that he calls me up to glory. We're to stand. Vance Havner said, we need not worry for fear that the faith of our fathers will have no relevance today. Times have changed, they tell us, but times make no difference to the great I am. He outlasts all little systems. They have their day and they cease to be. With him, 1,000 years are as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. The old time religion is a misnomer, for it's not merely old time, but new time, anytime, all the time. Let me say that again. The old time religion. It's not merely old time, but it's new time, anytime, all the time. We're to stand on those traditions. So I'm taking my stand for this book I hold in my hand. The Word of God is so valuable. It's so profound today, so needed by mankind. The Word of God explains salvation. It explains eternal life. It strengthens our faith, and it shows us heaven. His Word is dear to him. Someone wrote, if you take care of the things that are dear to God, he'll take care of the things that are dear to you. Do you believe that? I believe it, and have found it to be true in my own life. Have you? Our Father, we love you. We thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. I pray you'd bless as we give an invitation, Lord. I don't know the hearts of these people, but you know. God, I would pray if there's one here without Christ, that even today would be the day that they'd step out and come down where we can take a Bible and show them from the Word of God how to be saved. I pray if there's Christians here that are not standing on the Word of God like they know they should. Perhaps they've slacked up on the reading of the Word of God and not spending as much time as they know they should. I pray they might come and gather around this old-fashioned altar this morning and dedicate their lives afresh to you and say, by the grace of God, I'm taking my stand for this book in my hand. I'm going to spend more time in it. I want to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, this is your church. This is your word I've given out. This is your business. It's your Holy Spirit that deals with people. And God, I won't delay the invitation. It's up to you. As you speak to the hearts of people this morning, I pray they'd come. You have your way now. In his name we pray. With our heads bowed, no one looking around, standing all over the auditorium.